Neurafos, the optical chip that could replace GPUs, detailed summary. This is a 20-minute technical deep dive from a chief design engineer covering Neurafos, a Texas-based startup backed by Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, and Michael Bloomberg. The video explains why the current trajectory of AI computing is unsustainable and how a fundamentally different approach, using light instead of electricity, could change everything. Section 1, the energy wall. The video opens with a stark reality check. We are watching AI outgrow the planet, not metaphorically, physically. Gigawatt-scale data centers are rising everywhere. Some already consume as much power as entire countries, and the roadmap says we need 100 times more compute. For decades, computing followed one simple rule: make transistors smaller, put more on a chip, get faster. That gave us smartphones, the cloud, and modern AI. Then transistor scaling slowed and power stopped scaling down. But AI didn't wait. The industry adapted by making chips bigger, connecting more of them, stacking them horizontally and vertically, squeezing performance from scale instead of physics. Without saying it out loud, the entire industry accepted that intelligence has a fixed energy cost, and the only way forward is to pay it. The amount of computation needed as a result of agentic AI and reasoning is easily 100 times more than anyone thought was needed just last year. Here's the brutal math. If you take a 700-watt NVIDIA GPU and try to make it 100 times faster without changing how computation works, you get a chip that burns 70 kilowatts and melts the moment you turn it on. The current roadmap stops making sense. If we want AI chips 100 times faster, we need different physics. Section 2, the history of systolic arrays and analog computing. To understand where the solution comes from, you need to understand the workload. Modern AI is dominated by one operation, matrix multiplication, and we actually solved this efficiently before with systolic arrays. Instead of shuttling data back and forth between compute and memory, you load it once and reuse it many times. That saves enormous energy because memory access is exactly where the most energy goes. This idea dates back to the 1970s and was forgotten until 2017 when Google brought it back with its custom TPU chip. That gave Google one of the most efficient AI silicon in the world, competing with NVIDIA GPUs, powering models like Gemini, and attracting customers like Anthropic. But digital systolic arrays hit a wall too. As they grow larger, power scales with area. Every multiply, every accumulate, every clock tick builds up faster than you can remove the heat. Performance stalls. So researchers took the next logical step, analog computing. Analog systems are linear physical systems, and matrix multiplication is a linear operation. They were made for each other. In analog computing, most energy is burned at the perimeter, where you inject inputs and read outputs. Inside the array, nothing switches on or off. The computation happens passively as signals propagate. As you scale larger, the interior doesn't become more expensive. Only the edges do. Everyone rushed in. A wave of analog chips followed. For a brief moment, it looked like an answer. But most analog chips failed. The core problem, they were still built with electronics. Resistors and capacitors don't move signals instantly. They charge and discharge, introducing delays and dissipating energy. As arrays grow, delays pile up, noise increases, control becomes harder. The math was right, but the medium wasn't. The industry abandoned analog. But what if analog was right and electronics was wrong? Section 3, what Neurafos actually built. This is where it gets exciting. Neurafos didn't try to replace the GPU ecosystem. They built a chip designed to plug into it. From the outside, it looks familiar. Same foundries, same supply chain, same packaging logic as GPUs. High bandwidth memory sits beside the optical chip. A small electronic controller drives everything. But inside, everything flips. In a normal GPU, compute cores constantly pull data from memory. That back and forth is where most energy goes. Neurafos flips this. The memory is the computation. Instead of storing neural network weights as digital bits, they're stored physically in a metasurface, written in how it reflects and shapes light. Light hits the surface, and the math happens instantly at the point of contact. So what is a metasurface? Imagine an ultra-thin glass, flatter than a mirror, but instead of being smooth, it's covered with millions of tiny patterns. This is a physical instruction set. When light hits this surface, those instructions decide what happens. They bend it, shift phase, redirect, all at once without any moving parts. Traditional metasurfaces are static. Once etched, they're fixed forever. Great for lenses, useless for computing. Neurafos changed that. They built an active metasurface device where the function can be written and then rewritten electronically. Now it looks less like a lens and more like photonic memory. Each pixel contains millions of tiny cells. Each cell can be programmed with a specific reflectivity and phase shift by applying voltage. It's like an optical DRAM manufactured using standard foundry processes. Here's how the computation works. A beam of light comes in. The brightness encodes input data. Brighter means larger value, dimmer means smaller. That light hits a pixel with a certain reflectivity. If the pixel reflects half the light, the output becomes half as strong. Input light times reflectivity equals output light. That is multiplication done directly in physics. These optical cells are extremely small, up to 10,000 times smaller than traditional optical devices. You can pack millions on a chip. When incoming light hits the surface, every pixel multiplies at once, all simultaneously. The reflection itself performs the math. The result is a dense optical matrix multiplier working at the speed of light. Section 4, the numbers that sound too good. When you cross this threshold, throughput scales with area. Making the chip bigger actually makes it better, not just linearly, but superlinearly, because you turn energy efficiency into speed. A single NeuroFOS unit can reach 1.2 million teraoperations per second. When you place 8 units in a tray, they project performance exceeding an entire GPU rack using a fraction of the energy. The computing cores run at 56 gigahertz. That sounds absurdly fast, and it is, but there's a reason. There are no electrons pushing through resistance, no capacitors charging and discharging, no long metal wires heating up. That's why traditional silicon hits a wall at a few gigahertz, but this chip doesn't play by those rules because the underlying physics is different. From their paper, NVIDIA Blackwell delivers about 9 petaoperations per second at roughly 1,000 watts. That's about 9 teraoperations per watt. NeuroFOS at peak targets about 235 petaoperations per second at 675 watts. That's roughly 30 times better efficiency than today's state-of-the-art NVIDIA GPU. That's why they're targeting hyperscalers first, specifically inference applications where efficiency matters more than raw peak performance. Think search, ranking, real-time inference behind ChatGPT and image generation. These systems run constantly and dominate data center energy use. If you can cut power there, the impact compounds quickly. If this holds at system scale, the implications go beyond more efficient chips. It changes the entire AI data center economics. Power stops being the primary constraint for scaling. That changes where AI can run, who can afford it, and how fast it can grow. Section 5, the big if. The presenter is careful to provide a reality check. Every few years, someone claims optical computing will replace GPUs. Almost every time it fails when scaling starts. Startups don't win on physics alone because physics alone doesn't decide winners. Ecosystems do. Manufacturing metasurfaces at scale is hard. What works on test silicon doesn't automatically survive real production. Large arrays introduce defects. Thermal stability becomes a problem. The results so far are at prototype scale. Then there's software. Hardware doesn't win without the ecosystem. GPUs have decades of momentum. Compilers, frameworks, entire teams have been built around them. Competing with NVIDIA Blackwell, which is already shipping at massive scale, or the upcoming Rubin GPU, sets an extremely high bar. For NeuroFOS, proving that physics works is just the first step. They also have to prove software compatibility and cost parity. And they have to do it fast, because by the time their early data center prototypes arrive, NVIDIA will not be standing still. Their roadmap points to data center-ready systems around 2028. The presenter thinks that's a little optimistic, but close enough that the industry can't ignore it. Critically, it's designed to be manufactured at factories like TSMC on standard silicon photonic processes, meaning it fits into the existing semiconductor supply chain. That's the difference between a lab experiment and something that can actually scale. Section 6, the verdict. The presenter's conclusion is measured, but optimistic. This is definitely one of the most exciting bets in modern computing, but history isn't kind. Optical computing startups have hit this wall before. Many never made it past the lab because hyperscalers didn't want to take the risk. The physics is compelling. The prototypes are real, but scale is the test. His final prediction, the future of computing won't be purely electronic anymore, but it won't be purely photonic either. It will be heterogeneous, a mix of both. And for the first time, power may not be the limit. If, and it's a very big if, the ecosystem can move fast enough to catch up with the physics. The deeper question the video raises, but doesn't fully answer. Do we actually want this? Because half the internet is scared of AI, and removing the energy constraint, one of the last natural brakes on AI scaling, has profound implications for how fast artificial intelligence can grow.